Two scriptures I'd like you to turn to today. James chapter 4 and verse 10. We will read first. And then Psalm chapter 40 verses 2 and 3. James chapter 4 and verse 10. And then Psalm chapter 40 verses 2 and 3. First of all, James chapter 4 and verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. And then Psalm chapter 40, verses 2 and 3. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Father, we ask Your blessing upon this word today. May it be a comfort. May it lift us up today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If I were to fill out a resume today, I would like to be able to say that I have had much experience as being a forklift operator. I didn't say forklift. I said folklift. I want to be able to help people and lift them up as they go through the struggles of life. There are many people that are dragging through life. They need a lift. They need a lift. They need somebody to come along and lift them up and encourage them. Others have left their vehicle miles down the road and are now barely making it as they travel along life's highway, hoping somebody will come along to give them a lift, hoping that somebody will come along and make their life, make their trip just a little bit easier. We all have down times in life, but I want you to know that God is willing and God is able to lift you up. Jesus Christ is the great forklifter, and we are to imitate Him and we are to be like Him, but He is the greatest forklifter of all time. In fact, that is the reason for Christmas. God came down to lift man up. God came down to our level so that He could lift us up to His level. God came down to earth so that He could someday lift us up to heaven. And the chorus, as the chorus says, He came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, I say we ought to lift His name on high. Jesus is the great forklift operator. Let me mention a few means by which God lifts up those who are cast down. First of all, there is the lift of salvation. Notice there in Psalm 40 and verse 2, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. I think of it as a person who is sinking in quicksand. Without help, a person in quicksand has nowhere to go but down. They say that the best thing to do in that situation is to stop struggling and look for some help. With sin, likewise, there is nowhere to go, no way to go except down. Sin always pulls us down, but there is help. There is a lift available. There is a forklift available. Jesus Christ came, and He wants to lift you out of the muck and mire of sin and put you on a solid rock. This is a divine lift. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, it describes the birth of Jesus. It says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. God Himself shall save His people from their sins. Jesus is the great forklift operator. The song says there's a sweet and blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness sought me and from sin and shame hath brought me. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay, and set him free. I will ever tell the story shouting, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. Why did he do it? Why did he leave the glory and splendor of heaven to come to this earth to be born in a humble manger, knowing that he would ultimately give his life? Why did he do it? One word, love. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. What is it that lifted us? Love. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. If Jesus had not come along to lift us from sin, we could not be saved. He was our hope. He was our only hope. This was a divine lift. It was also a dramatic lift. In Psalm chapter 40 and verse 2 again, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. From miry clay to a solid rock. That's dramatic. Luke chapter 13, verses 11 through 13 says, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could no wise lift up herself. She couldn't even straighten up. And when Jesus saw her, he called to her and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. She was lifted up and glorified God. No sinner will ever truly be saved until he first learns to stop resting in his own efforts. This woman could not lift herself up. She could not straighten herself. I want you to know that no effort that we do could ever save us. None of the do-good-isms. Not baptism, not church membership. None of those things could ever save us. We have to come to the point where we rely completely upon the crucified, buried, and risen Son of God for our salvation. The songwriter penned, from sinking sand, he lifted me. With tender hand, he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me. Are you lifted today? Did Jesus lift you out of the miry clay? Set your feet upon a rock? What's our response? Hallelujah! Jesus lifted me. There is the lift of salvation. Number two, there is the lift of sanctification. Notice in Psalm 40 and verse 2 as we go on and continue in that verse. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. From is a key word in that verse. He doesn't save us in our sins. He doesn't leave us in the mire. I'm glad he doesn't leave us in that muck. I'm glad he doesn't leave us in the quicksand. He lifts us out and he sets our feet upon a rock, and then he establishes our goings. He points us in the right direction. He helps us go the right way. The word established means to stand erect, to set up, and then direct through faithfulness, to order and perfect. Jesus Christ comes along, and through his faithfulness, he directs and he orders our steps, establishes our goings. He perfects us. He brings us to a place of maturity and completeness in him. I'd like to point out that salvation has three tenses. First of all, we have been saved from sin's penalty. Jesus paid the penalty of death for us. We no longer have to pay that penalty. We are, number two, being saved from sin's power. That's a big word that we call sanctification. It is a separation from the world in the life and in the practice of the believer. The baptism which accomplishes this lift is called the operation of God in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, which says that we are buried with him buried with Jesus in baptism, and then risen through faith in the operation of God. So Jesus saves us, and He sets us on the right path. He makes us new creations, new creatures. And as we go along and live the Christian life, He gives us power to overcome the sins that once brought us down. He lifts us up to a new level where we can live more righteously and walk more holy. I'll notice some things here about sanctification. First of all, this is a powerful operation of God. The Holy Spirit puts a person in Christ by a spiritual baptism and salvation from sin's penalty, and then begins to lift him up above the world in salvation from sin's power. This is also a present operation of God. This is a lift that God is doing now in your life. If He has saved you, He is in the process of sanctifying you. He is presently working in your life. If you are already born again. And then number three, this is a progressive operation of God. The Holy Spirit gradually helps the believer to grow in grace and live holier, having secured for him eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. People don't become instantly mature in Christ. That's a gradual process. In fact, I've noticed that when someone gives indication of instant maturity, it's usually not something that's real. It's not something that lasts. The Lord gradually begins to work on us with things that need to be changed in our lives. And gradually He changes us and He perfects us and He brings us to maturity. And gradually we see ourselves being transformed into the image of Christ. It doesn't happen overnight. We need to be patient with each other. How many of you ever heard that old saying, "Please be patient, God isn't finished with me yet"? It's true. He's not finished with any one of us yet. He is still perfecting us, still bringing us to a place of maturity in Christ. It's a progressive operation. And then it's a purposeful operation of God. God's purpose in this life is to separate His people from those who are condemned in their sins. God wants His people to live on higher ground. And then the three tenses of salvation, number three, we shall be saved from sin's presence. The word saved may be used in Scripture to refer to any one of these aspects of salvation. Someday when the Lord takes us to heaven, one of the great things about that is there's not going to be any more sin. There won't be any more temptation. We will be completely free from all presence of sin. There is the lift of salvation. There is the lift of sanctification. And number three, there is the lift from sorrow. Psalm 40 and verse 3. "And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." God lifts us up from sorrow to a place of praise, it says, to a place of joy, singing and praise. You know that one of the major words of Christmas is joy. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 10, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." Luke chapter 1 and verse 44, "For lo, as soon as the voice of Mary's salutation sounded in Elizabeth's ears, the babe, John the Baptist, leaped in her womb for joy." Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, "And the angel said unto the shepherds, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." God wants Christians to be joyful people. He wants to lift you up out of your sorrow and bring joy and praise to your heart. Why such joy? Why should the Christian have such joy? Again, the song says, "From the depth of sin and sadness to the heights of joy and gladness, Jesus lifted me. In mercy full and free, with His precious blood He bought me. When I knew Him not, He sought me. And in love divine, He ransomed me. From the throne of heavenly glory, oh, the sweet and blessed story, Jesus came to lift the lost in sin and woe, in liberty all glorious, trophies of His grace victorious, evermore rejoicing here below. How often? Evermore rejoicing here below. There should be joy in our heart when we think about the story, not only of the birth of Christ, but the life of Christ and the death of Christ, and how He came and set us free from sin, pulled us out of the miry clay. And you know what? The song says that we stand as trophies of His grace. Jesus holds us up for all the world to see, because the world is looking for joy. The world is looking for happiness, and it just seems to get away from them. It's something that they can't grasp, or they can't hold. They think that they may see it out here, but it's elusive. The only joy, true and lasting joy in the world, is found in the presence of God and in the company of Jesus Christ. And the Lord knows that. So He holds us out as trophies of His grace so that others would want to receive Him as well. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. That's God's goal, that many see Christ and the joy of Christ radiate from our lives. Many are supposed to see us praising God, and then they in turn trust in the Lord themselves. Praise God, Jesus is the great folklift operator. And then number four, the lift of the second advent. The first advent, the first coming of Jesus, Christmas, that's only half the story. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, it talks about the Lord coming again. It says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Some things to notice. First of all, it's a future lift. It's future, although it could happen at any time. It's not subject to Old Testament prophecies. It's one of the things that Paul described as a mystery that was now revealed in the New Testament. It is also a fantastic lift. Fantastic in its transportation out of this world. I mean, you can't find any other vehicle that would transfer you out of this world. But Jesus is going to lift us through this atmosphere to meet Him in the clouds, to take us to a place that He has prepared for us, a heavenly home where we will forever be with Him. I mean, if that isn't fantastic, I don't know what is. And it's also fantastic in its translation. Think about it. Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, making us like Jesus Christ, conforming us perfectly into His image. Be a fantastic thing to happen. And it's going to happen someday. It's future, it's fantastic, and it'll be a final lift. One of my favorite characters in all the Bible is a guy by the name of Enoch. Enoch walked through this world in opposition to ungodly men, but he received a glorious lift to end all lifts. Elijah got down in his spirit after being threatened by a wicked king. But he received a wonderful lift which picked up his spirits forevermore as God sent this fiery chariot to come and take Elijah up into heaven in a whirlwind. Enoch simply walked with God and was not, for God took him. One of these days, we're going to get that final lift, and we shall need no further lifts, for we shall be like Christ, able to go freely anywhere in God's creation. Worlds without end, as we will walk completely in God's will. By and by, with joy increasing and with gratitude unceasing, lifted up with Christ forevermore to be, I will join the host there singing in the anthem ever ringing, to the King of Love who ransomed me. Let me tell you, that was some good singing this morning. I enjoyed it. You sounded great. Can you imagine what it would be like to join the redeemed of all time in one big heavenly choir singing praises to the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the one who ransomed us, the one who pulled us out of the miry clay and set us on a rock and established our goings, the one who will someday come back for us, the lift of all lifts, lift us from this earth into his glorious presence. Jesus is the greatest folklift operator. I want to be like him. Because the final lift, number five, is the lift of the saints. All saints should be folklift operators. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 tells us, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We should lift others with care and concern. How many of you here today would say that you want to be a folklift operator? Could I see your hand? Amen. You want to lift people up? You want to be able to add it on your resume that someday you are able to lift a lot of folks. You're able to help them out. With Christ working in you and through you, pulling them out of the miry clay, setting them up on a rock, and let the Lord establish their goings. Looking for people who are filled with sorrow and gloom. And by the example of your life and by the word of your testimony, have people notice that you have joy and they want that joy for themselves. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Just in case there is somebody here that could not say that Jesus has ransomed you yet. He's already paid the ransom money, but you need to receive today. You have to say, "Lord, I accept the ransom that you have paid for me. I accept the fact that you shed your precious blood and paid the price for my sin. And I'm willing today to let you be my Savior. Behold, I stand at the door and knock," Jesus said. "If any man will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." Maybe he's here today and he's knocking at your heart's door. He says, "I've got the ransom money. I want to set you free. Open that prison door and come out. Let me come in." Is there anybody here today? "Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to receive Christ. I've not yet asked him to be my Savior. I've not invited him yet to be Savior of my life. But I would like to do that today. Could I see your hand?" Lord, you saw the hands today here of people who would like to be folklift operators. Lord, use them, I pray. Give us grace that we would do your will. Pray, Lord, that we would be ever learning to hear your voice as you speak to us, as you point out others who could use our help. Help us to be willing to share one another's burdens. Lord, today we humble ourselves in your sight, that you might lift us up, that you might exalt us in due time, that you might use us. And yet, Lord, we are so grateful for the time as we look back in our lives where you brought us out of the horrible pit of sin. You took us out of the miry clay. We were sinking deeper and deeper, and yet you came along and lifted us up. You set our feet upon a rock. You brought our salvation. You established our goings. You have sanctified us and are even now continuing that work, sanctifying us, bringing us to a place where we are more like Christ. Lord, we thank you that you lifted us from sorrow, Lord, to a place of praise. We pray that many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And Lord, we look forward to that future lift of the second coming. We join the Apostle John as he said, "Even so come, Lord Jesus. come quickly. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We have to sing He Ransomed Me. So let's stand. Just as you sing this song, think of the many times it talks about lift. How God has lifted us.
Blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness sought me and from sin and shame hath brought me. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. From the depths of sin and sadness to the heights of joy and gladness, Jesus lifted me in mercy full and free. With His precious blood He bought me, when I knew Him not He sought me. And in love divine He ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. From the throne of heavenly glory, oh, the sweet and blessed story, Jesus came to lift the lost in sin and woe. Into liberty, all glorious, trophies of His grace victorious. Evermore rejoicing here below. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay, set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. By and by, with joy increasing and with gratitude unceasing, lifted up with Christ forevermore to be, I will join the host there singing in the anthem ever ringing, to the King of love who ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay, set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me.
Amen. We sing that last verse again. And we get to the chorus where it says, shouting, glory, glory, glory. Let's short shout those three glories out, all right? Let's do what the song says. Let's have a little bit of heaven on earth this morning. Think about what it will be like.
By and by, with joy increasing and with gratitude unceasing, lifted up with Christ forevermore to be, I will join those there singing, shouting, King of love who ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay, set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me.
Glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory do unto your name, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I hope you go today with joy in your heart. If you came with sorrow, hope that there's just a little bit of joy that's added to your heart today.